day that will be.
Hallelujah.
Anybody besides Dale ready? Amen. Me too. Hey, if you're ready to go, stand up with me. Come on, everybody stand up. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. There you go. Thank you much. Tell you what, I just, for some reason, that song was sticking in my head yesterday, and I just had to have the guys come sing it. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm not looking for the tribulation. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not looking for whatever this world's going to have without me. Amen? I'm looking for Jesus. I am excited about that. I think it's going to be soon. I think it's going to be soon. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep preaching if I can, as long as I can. Praise the Lord for His strength and the wonderful opportunity to stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel, preach the Word of God. I tell you what, there's nothing like it. I like to preach. I like to preach. I wish I could preach better. Do the best I can. But I like to preach. Well, let's turn our Bible over to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14. Continuing on with our series of messages on the children of Israel and their wanderings through the wilderness. Many, many, many things happened to the children of Israel. So many lessons for us to learn today from all the things that happened to them. You must not miss these lessons. So we'll look at Numbers 14, and we're going to look at the last part of the chapter, verses 40 through 45. This is kind of the tail end of the Kadesh Barnea event. So let's read verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning and gathered them up into the top of the mountain, saying, "Lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned." And Moses said, "Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. And the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching of your word. Lord, this is a very, very important time of our week, these couple of hours that we spend in your word. Lord, help us to take this time seriously. I pray that it would count for eternity in each of our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help us today, as a result of today, to be closer drawn to you, to be better Christians, more pleasing to you than yesterday. And Lord, I pray that you would make changes in our lives, the changes that you want to make. Lord, I pray for your strength and your help today. You promise when we are weak, then you are strong, and I claim that promise today. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the message. Do the work that you want to accomplish with it today. Speak to our hearts now, we ask. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, one of the big emphasis of the message, I believe, was just one word. Well, I was over at Nathan's house, or Nathan was over at our house, actually, the other day, and we were talking about this a little bit, and I asked the kids, I said, what words are the most important thing about the message from last Sunday? If you could just think of a couple words from the message. And one word we talked about was grasshoppers. That was kind of a big deal, wasn't it? Grasshoppers. But there was another word. We didn't actually get to this, but there was another word, too. And it's the word carcasses. Remember that? Carcasses. What does that tell us? It tells us the importance that we have to make every minute of our lives count for the Lord. Because the minutes are taken away, folks. We're wasting our minutes. And what we're going to do for the Lord, we better do it today. Not wait until we're old. When we get to be old and decide to do something for the Lord, I want to tell you, it's over. You've had your chance. It's over. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When I am dying, how happy I'll be if that lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. Remember that poem? But today's story is on the tail end of this Kadesh Barnea event. It's another tragedy. And they didn't like the sound of the judgment that was pronounced upon them. You're not going to get to go in the promised land now. You're never going to go in. That was God's judgment on them. The second part of it was, and you're going to be in this wilderness for the rest of your lives, for 38 years. You're going to wander in this wilderness, and you're going to die in this wilderness, and your carcasses are going to be strewn across this wilderness. And by the way, when we continue on with these lessons, we're going to see that happen. I mean, it just one bad thing happened after another, and people were just dying here. All a group of thousands die here, and thousands die here, thousands die there. It's all the bodies are strewn across the wilderness. Well, they didn't like that. Of course, they didn't like it. They didn't like God's judgment. Why? And so, because of that, they presumed to ignore God's judgment. They presumed that they could do it their own way without God. They presumed that God would forgive them. They presumed that God would not abandon them. They presumed it would all turn out all right. And so I want to speak to you today on this subject of the problem of presumption. The problem of presumption. It's a big problem, folks. The problem of presumption. We read in verse 44, but they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. We also read later on in Deuteronomy chapter 1, 43, after almost 40 years, that Moses is recounting what happened here to the next generation. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 43, he says, "So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill." Same situation. We also, you know, this idea of presumption, that this isn't the only time they've made this kind of a mistake. Even the next generation made this mistake. Remember when Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan River, and they had that wonderful battle, wonderful victory at Ai. It wasn't even a battle. Wonderful victory at Jericho. Got the wrong city. at Jericho. Walls came down. Now, what a great victory. But what was the next city they came to? Just told you. Ai. Well, they made a mistake of presumption with Ai. A big mistake. We read in Joshua chapter 7, verses 2 through 5. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. So I guess they still hadn't learned their lesson about sending out spies, but anyway, they did. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So they went up thither, and the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them, and the going down whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So they presumed that they would have an easy victory, and Ai, I mean, after all, they did really good in Jericho, and so they didn't even bother to send the whole army up, just a handful. They made a presumption of victory again, and it ended up tragically. So presumption can be dangerous. It was certainly dangerous here, wasn't it? For in this case, also there at Kadesh Barnea, it was not only dangerous, it was tragic. During the Battle of the Wilderness and the Civil War, there was a Union general named John Sedgwick. He was inspecting his troops, and at one point he came to a parapet over which he was looking out, gazing out, and out in the direction of the enemy. And one of his officers suggested that this was not very wise, and perhaps he ought to duck while he's passing by the parapet. He snapped. He said, Nonsense! They couldn't hit an elephant at this dis. And he was dead on the ground. Yeah, presumption can be dangerous. Now, there are a lot of areas that we presume everything is going to be okay. We could talk about all kinds of things. We could talk in financial areas, for example. You can presume that you're going to have this good job, and so you go in debt. Maybe you buy a house, buy whatever, car, whatever, and you got these car payments, and you're presuming that your financial stability is going to continue on as it is, and then all of a sudden you lose your job. You got to watch out for presumption. You may presume that you're always going to be healthy. Sarah, that's not true, is it? You know? There's not a one of you. You know, there's a lot of us here that are pretty healthy. But I want to tell you something. Don't presume that. Don't presume it's always going to be that way. Trying to scare me. No, I'm just trying to let's be realistic here. These old bodies are made out of clay. They fall apart. And if they don't, if something else doesn't happen first, they're going to just get old and rot anyway. So don't presume on your health. Don't presume on your marriage. Oh, so many young people go to the marriage altar with the idea that this lovely young lady or this handsome young man, he's going to make me so happy. Boy, that's a big presumption. You better watch out. That's a bad way to start a marriage. I presume that at one time, and I told you the story about my Grand Prix, I won't tell you the whole story again. I presume that my Grand Prix would make me happy. You remember the story. Didn't turn out very good. Wasn't a bit happy about it. Well, let's look at some scripture about, now we're going to talk about seven different problems of presumption. Okay, seven problems of presumption. First of all, as I'm going to just going to talk to us preachers for a minute, okay? You guys ready? Okay. We need to be careful about preaching the Word of God. We need to handle it carefully. Very carefully. Deuteronomy 18:20 says, but the prophet, it was the Old Testament preachers, okay, for the prophet who shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. So there's a warning to preachers here. We need to be careful that we are speaking what God says and not what we think or what philosophizing or whatever. We need to speak the Word of God. This should be a real warning to us. Listen, this pulpit is sacred. Amen? Now, what I'm saying is, when somebody stands up behind this pulpit to preach, they better dead sure be preaching the Word of God. Now, I'm supposed to be the watchman for that as a pastor. And I have not always done as well at that as I should have. I could tell you stories about that. But I've learned my lesson. And I'm very, very careful. I'm jealous of this pulpit. Okay? And Jared said he had a sermon ready for today, but I wanted to preach today. I appreciate him being backing me up. But listen, I'm not jealous of this pulpit because I want to hog it all the time, but I'm jealous for this pulpit because this is where the Word of God is supposed to be proclaimed, you see. Men, listen, when we prepare messages, we need to prepare for preaching with fear and trembling. When we're doing our studying, we need to do it with fear and trembling. We need to be so careful about what we're preaching. I appreciate these guys. I mean, they are careful. But we need to really watch out for that. Don't start preaching something that you just heard somebody else say one time or that just your own hobby horse or something. Don't do that. Preach the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. We need to have thorough, careful study for the Word of God before we get up here to preach. This is serious, serious business. We might be criticized for many things in our church. The world will criticize us for things like our standards, and that's okay. I'm good with that. Okay. The world can criticize us for a lot of things. We might even get criticized for not being a friendly church. I don't think that's true, but we could be criticized for not being a friendly church, and I don't like that. But that's not the main thing. Listen to me. If we ever get criticized for not preaching the Word of God, that's deadly. That's deadly. And we're not going there. This old book, this old blessed King James Bible, it's going to get preached in this pulpit until I die. And after I'm gone, by golly, I'm going to come. Excuse me, that's not even a word that should be used. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Oh my, I didn't think I'd ever see that. At least it wasn't quite a swear word, but it was a little too close. I'm going to come back to haunt you. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm going to come back to haunt you if you do anything different, guys. Anybody else around here? Listen, I want this church to stay pure and clean to the Word of God. We must be careful about preaching presumptuously. Our preaching must, the Word of God must be above reproach. A second thing that we need to be careful about this presumption is sinning presumptuously. Sinning presumptuously. In Psalm 19, verse 13, it says, "Keep back thy servant." Will you forgive me for saying that, using that word a while ago? I really feel bad about that. Can you take it off the thing, Jonathan? I don't know if you can do that or not. Oh, boy. Psalm 19, 13. "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous." It wasn't a presumptuous sin, okay? It was an accident. "From presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." So the psalmist is saying, keep me from presumptuous sins. Israel was told by Moses, don't go up the hill. Don't do it. God will not be with you. The ark is going to stay in the camp. God will not be with you. Don't do it. It will not prosper. But they presumptuously went up the hill. Why do Christians sin presumptuously sometimes? I think because they're presuming on God's forgiveness. We all know God's a forgiving God. We know God will forgive us. We know all we have to do is confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So what's the big deal? That's presumption, folks. That's a presumptuous sin. It's planning ahead to sin. What it is. Because you know it's going to turn out okay. God will forgive you. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, it tells us six things that the Lord hates, seven are abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. But right sandwiched in the middle of all those seven things that are abomination to God is an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. In other words, someone who is presumptuously planning on sinning with the idea that God's going to forgive her. This is an abomination to God. You see, there's kind of a routine that this person goes through. This is the routine. Plan on sinning. Sin. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Get forgiveness for your sin. And then tomorrow you do the same thing. You just repeat the same thing over and over again. Sin. Confess, repent, forgiveness. Sin, Confess, repent, forgiveness. Day after day after day after day. I want to tell you something. That's not what God had in mind for the Christian. For one thing, the repentance at the end of that, that's not true repentance. Because you know good and well you're just going to go do it again. You know good and well you're just going to repeat this cycle again. I can remember when I was a new Christian. I had trouble with this for a while. I didn't understand this. And I lived like that for several years. Sin. Confess. Repent. Get forgiveness. I always felt bad. But I knew I'd feel bad. But it was worth it to feel bad to get to sin. Yeah, you see what I'm talking about? This is a presumptuous sin, folks. And we better watch out for that. God, this is an abomination to God. God hates this. So when you plan to sin, you're also planning on the other steps of the routine as well. So how bad is it, this presumptuous sin? Well, we've already seen where the Lord hates it. It's an abomination. And then in Numbers chapter 15, our next chapter over, there are two categories of sin given. Now, you know, the Catholics have two categories of sin, right? They have mortal sins and what are the other ones? What's the other one? I don't know. I've never been a Catholic, so I don't know. Mortal and... Nobody knows. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, they have two categories of sin. You know, one's worse than the other one. But that's not the categories that the Bible puts on sin. Here are the categories that God's Word puts on sin. Right here in Numbers chapter 15, verses 29-31. You shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance. There's one kind of sin. Sin through ignorance. Okay? Didn't know you sinned. Both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. So presumptuous sin, folks, is very serious. Very serious indeed. Something else that we... sometimes presume about is our family heritage. And when right away pride raises its ugly head in regard to this, in fact, I think all presumption there's pride. If I said very much, you'd know exactly who this family is I'm talking about, some of you would. But I'll just say a family from the South, as close as I'm going to come. Not that there's anything wrong with the South. Now, you Southerners, okay. Don't take it personally. But this family from the South, they had a strong, strong sense of family pride. Supposedly a very good, upstanding Christian family. I mean, they were the cream of the crop. They were the top of the top dog, you know. Well, they had a serious issue with presuming on their family heritage, family pride, and it didn't turn out well. One of the sons wound up in a prison in a foreign country. father wound up in prison for a while because he tried to hide or do away with evidence. And they weren't such a spotless, remarkable family as what they tried to make everybody think they were. And I've known for other families like this too. But this is, Scripture talks about this. John the Baptist spoke about this. In Matthew chapter 3, in verse 9, John says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And then Jesus, in John chapter 8, verse 39, said to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, they said to Jesus, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus says unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." So they were bragging because they were descendants of Abraham, presuming on family heritage. And this always kind of was a big problem for the Jews. They were God's chosen people, right? They were God's pet. Certainly, they deserved God's favor. No, they didn't. Now, there was other reasons why God showed favor to them. Because of his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it was for God's own sake that he showed favor to them. The Bible makes that clear. We won't look at those scriptures right now, but it was like it didn't matter how bad they were, that God was always going to be God's pet. Well, that's presumption. That's presumption. Now, we've got little families here. We've got some bonds here. We've got some Sealys here. We've got some Moraleses here and all the rest of you. You know. Be careful about presuming upon family heritage. Morales has got some good family heritage. Got a mother and father that loves the Lord. His sister is married to a preacher down there in Mexico. And Alex is a good preacher. There could be some family, you know, presume on family heritage. We can't afford to do that, folks. I want to tell you that there's something evil in every one of us. I don't care how good our family is. We better watch out. Presuming on family heritage. There's something else. Sometimes we presume on a Christian home. Presuming on a Christian home. What do I mean by that? I guess I'm going to talk to the parents for a minute. Presuming that as long as you have a Christian home, everything's going to turn out all right with your kids. I want to tell you something, that's not the case. Some parents have that attitude that if their children are raised in a Christian home, everything's going to be okay. I guess they think their children are going to get Christianity through osmosis or something. It's not how it works. Some Christian parents think that as long as they are in church, as long as they take their family to church, that it's all going to be okay. That's a presumption. Be careful. There's more to it than that. Some parents might think that if they teach their kids a good work ethic, teach them how to be really, really good workers, and everything's going to go all right in their life, and everything's going to be good. Don't presume that. Yeah, they might be a good worker, but there's a lot more to it than that. Don't presume that just because you train those little ones when they're young, and you train them to obey when they're young, and that's important, you need to do that. By the way, you need to do all these things. But just because you do that, don't presume that that's all you need to do. You're not done yet, parents. Your job's a lot bigger than that. Don't presume that because you sit down with your family and have family devotions every day, that everything's going to be okay. Don't presume that. There's more to it than that. You ought to do that. It's a very important thing, but there's more to it than that. Don't presume that if you just keep their hearts, and we've talked a lot about that, the importance of keeping their hearts, and that's very important. But don't presume that if you just keep your kids' hearts, that everything's going to be okay. That's a presumption you do not want to make. Don't presume that just because you set a good example before your children, that they're just going to walk in your example. They're going to follow your example, and everything's going to be okay. Don't presume that. Don't presume that just because you protect your children from outside worldly influences, that everything's going to be okay. I could tell you some horror stories about that. Because I want to teach them how in the world you're going to protect them against the horrible, horrible... I can't think of enough words to describe it. Putrid, sinful nature that's inside of each one of them. How are you going to protect them from that? Don't presume just because you have good standards and you always listen to good music in your home and you dress right, that everything's going to go okay with your children. They're going to grow up and be godly, good people. Do not presume that, because it's not true. It's not true. You say, man, that's quite a list. I'm tired. How many of you parents are tired? Some of you are. You say, couldn't we just rest once in a while? Rest in peace later. Amen? We found plenty of time for that. But you are, listen, moms and dads, you are for such a time as this. You got that? For those 20 years or wherever it is that you have children at home, you are for such a time as this. You can't afford to get tired. You can't afford to take a break. You're up to bat now and you need to hit a home run. Amen? You say, man, I'm getting tireder and tired just listening to this. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Like I say, you can rest in peace later. Parents, now is the time. Now is the time. I don't know how to emphasize this anymore. I hope you got it. I know you're tired. You know, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired today. My wife told me the last 2 days now, she said, you're not going to try and preach, are you? Yeah. No. She saw me kind of laying around a lot this week and resting a lot because I am tired. My body's down. have been eating very good. Monday I was in emergency room all day long, and I got to go back to OHSU tomorrow. I don't know what they're going to do to me. But I want to tell you something. I know I only have so much time. There's only so many times I'm going to be able to stand behind this pulpit. I want to make every minute count. I'm for such a time as this. I know that. And parents, you're for such a time as raising your children. And whether you're tired or not, you've got to do what you've got to do. God has, you know, God does not call you to something that He does not enable you to do. God can give you the strength. You say, man, I just need strength. Well, go to the Lord for strength. Amen? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You ever read that verse before? It works. I'm standing up here today not because I felt like it, not because I was strong. I'm standing up here in the strength of the Lord today. Amen? And every one of us need to do that in whatever task, job has, God has given us to do. And for parents, that is your primary job. Raising those kids. You say, but we just heard a song. Jesus is coming back. Yeah. But He might not come back for a little while. I don't know when He's coming back. Man, I want Him to come back today. I'm ready. Amen? Hallelujah, we said, right? But we don't know. But we got to keep on keeping on doing what we're supposed to do. So, presuming on a Christian home, raising your children in a Christian home is dangerous. How about presuming on being a good church member? Presuming on being a good church member. Now let me just, I gotta throw this out at you. We all like fellowship. I love to fellowship. Nathan and his family were over at our house Friday evening and Friday afternoon for most of the day, actually. They helped out, did some cleaning around there. And we talked and talked and talked, and we just had good fellowship. And I love the fellowship. I love our fellowship time that we have over here after the service. I really cherish that. And I feel like it's important. I feel like when we get together, and I'm pleased when I hear about different families in our church getting together and having meals together and things. I'm pleased about that. We need fellowship with each other. We need to know each other well. We need that. But I want to tell you something. That is not the primary thing about church. We need to get this straight, folks. Don't make a presumption that that's what church is all about. That's not right. You know what church is about? What we're doing right now. This is what church is about. The preaching of the Word of God. That's what it's all about. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Paul did not tell Timothy fellowship together. As important as that is, that's not what he told Timothy. Listen, Timothy was his, he was going to carry the work on and after Paul was gone. And this had to be taught, this had to be right. So in Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Those famous words that Paul said to young Timothy. They're so vital for the church. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. That is why we are here today. Amen? The fellowship is good. The fellowship is fun. It's enjoyable. And we need it. But it's not the primary thing. If you come for the fellowship and you've missed the preaching, you've missed the most important thing. You need to be here for the preaching. And I'm not trying to say that fellowship isn't important. It is. But don't miss the most important thing. Another thing that we presume about, the Bible speaks clearly on this, is, by the way, how long have I been preaching? Look at that clock back there. I'm presuming that I'm preaching not very long. All right, well, we'll see. Presuming to stand as a Christian, you can make a presumption that you're going to stand. You'd be careful about that. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You think you're going to stand. You're making a presumption that you're going to stand. But you better watch out. You might fall. Wars and battles are lost often because generals presume something that they should not presume. And usually what they presume is that they are stronger than the enemy, and so it's not a big deal. And then you lose the battle. Scripture tells us about some things that we should not presume about. Got to remember this, folks. Now, I've been saved for, well, I don't know, I'd have to tally it up again. 60-some years. 60. How old am I? 59 years, I guess. I could say that, man, I am a mature Christian. I am a pastor. I'm never going to fall. I'm not going to say that. Because it's not true. I'm as vulnerable as anybody else. It just breaks my heart to hear some of these old preachers that have been preaching faithfully for years, and then they hear that they fell off the wagon one way or another. In their old age. It just breaks my heart. It's not always old preachers, young preachers. The guys that I went to college with, graduated with, back in 1976, a long time ago. Several of us came out here to the Northwest. I went to Bellingham. Two guys went to the Seattle area, Seattle-Tacoma area. One guy went to Portland. One guy went to Vancouver. All of the Northwest here, the same year. The guy in Seattle committed adultery with a teenage girl. Lost his family, lost his ministry. The guy in Seattle, Tacoma area, committed adultery with his secretary. Lost his family, lost his church, everything. Ministry. The guy in Portland committed adultery with his secretary. That seems to be a pattern, by the way. Lost his family. Lost his ministry. The guy in Vancouver, he did okay for a while, but he finally did something kind of presumptuous that cost him his life. He's not around anymore. I'm just the only other old guy around here, I guess, from that group. I don't know why, but I could have fallen just as easy as any of them. Huh? Take heed lest you fall. Don't presume that you're going to stand. Well, let me give you some scriptures real quick about things that we need to take heed about, that we need to not presume about. Okay. Jesus in Mark chapter 8, verse 15 said, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. That is, the leaven of the Pharisees was the leaven of legalism. And I won't go into that. And the leaven of Herod was the leaven of worldliness. And then in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. You think that you could never be deceived. Don't presume that. You can be deceived. I could be deceived. And to be careful. You're listening to maybe somebody that's got some bad doctrine. Be careful. You could get deceived. It could happen. It could happen to me. Be careful. Luke chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus warned, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. You think your light is shining brightly and doing what you're doing well, and everybody, be careful. Maybe it's not so bright after all. Maybe it's darkness. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. You think that you could never fall into covetousness? Yes, you could. I could too. Beware. Don't presume that you could not fall into covetousness. Galatians 5:15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. We can fight and fuss with each other and presume that that's never going to hurt the church. That's never going to hurt anything. I want to tell you something. It'll consume us. It'll destroy us. So we need not to presume about all these sins. There's many other things that Scripture teaches as well. We need to not presume about that we would never fall into that particular sin. We can. We might presume that, you know, that we'd never be proud, prideful. Well, that's prideful, being prideful in itself, isn't it? That you're never going to fall. What are the tragedies of presumption? Well, ex-church members. Oh, they used to go to church. Fallen preachers. I know a preacher that not far from here. He now, last I heard anyway, he was driving an ice cream truck instead of preaching because he liked beer. Nobody knew about it. It was all secret. Fallen preachers. Preachers that committed adultery and so on. There's a lot of tragedies of presumption. Devastated elderly parents sitting there just wondering what happened to their kids. brokenhearted fathers, maybe with occasional visitors' rights of their children. Single moms trying to get by and raising their children. Tragedies of presumption. Tragedies of dreams that were crushed. People say, I never thought it could happen to me. Wherefore, let him thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. It could happen to anyone in this room. Do not presume that it could not. The very best Christian in this room, it can happen to you. And then, last point, presuming on heaven. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Examine yourself. I want us to examine ourselves today. You say, oh, we're all Christians here. Maybe. I'm growing up in a Christian home. I'm a Christian, right? You're being very presumptuous. That's not true. That does not make you a Christian. Going to church. Don't presume that going to church makes you a Christian. Don't presume that a moral life will make you a Christian. Don't presume that being a good guy will make you a Christian. Don't presume that being raised in a Christian home with Christian parents will get you to heaven. Don't presume that God's mercy is so rich and so wonderful that He would never send you to hell. Don't presume that. If you don't know for sure that you're born again, that you're saved today, and I'm talking to anybody that might be listening online as well. If you don't know for sure, absolutely for sure, that you're on your way to heaven, that you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you have put faith in His shed blood on the cross, and what He has done for you is your only way to heaven. If you are not sure about that, you better make sure of it today, because otherwise you are presuming on something else. And presumption will result in tragedy for eternity. Don't risk that. Don't risk that. You might be presuming on God's grace. God's grace. And you might be thinking, oh, you could just live whatever kind of life you want to live. You don't, you know, you're God is gracious, and you know, so you're okay. But there's a warning about that in Jude 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, or a license to sin, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You think that because you prayed a prayer sometime, but now you can just, you know, that's your free ticket to heaven. And you can just live however you want to live. I want to tell you, that's not what salvation is. That's not what true salvation is. True salvation is repenting of your sins, realizing that you're a dirty, rotten sinner, and that the only hope for you is the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done for you on the cross of Calvary, and that you must put your trust and faith in Him for the forgiveness of your sins and for your way to heaven. There is no other way. No other way. That's it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that wonderful truth. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us on the cross. You forgave our sins. You cleansed us, made us whole, gave us a home in heaven and a relationship with you. Lord, thank you for all you've done. I ask now for each one here today that you would just do the work. Just take the message and put it in the hearts of people, just however you want to apply it. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do business with you today. Perhaps someone here is making a presumption about something they should not make. The only thing that we can really presume about and do it accurately is that it's presume on the cross and what Jesus did. Because we know we're on our way to heaven because of what he did. We put our trust in him. We can presume on that, no problem. But everything else, we need to be careful. Help us, Lord, be careful. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Derek.